Greg, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Does J.C. Jackson make the roster?
Yeah, I've had him there, I think, from the get-go. He's just a guy, and I think we talked about it after last game, because I made it a point during the last game to watch him and Cyrus Jones in coverage from the press box level against the Panthers, where you can see a little bit more than you can on TV. And I came away thoroughly impressed with J.C. Jackson last week, and it just cemented his spot. And then, he just continues to build off that. I mean, you see a guy with really good size. He's 6'1". He's about 200 pounds. He's got good quickness. You saw the ball ability, not only on the interception, but, he had a pass breakup. I was just watching back on it with about 3:40 left in the second quarter where he was beat. And the play was open, but right at the last second, as the ball hit the receiver's hands, he stuck his hand in and broke up the pass. And now, to me, that is, even more impressive than those interceptions. And, just this is what the kid's been doing. And I think Belichick talked about it after the game. This is what he's been doing since going back to OTAs. And you thought at that time that he was just a flash in the pan, but he's just continued to build off it during training camp, all these preseason games. He's been on the 53. He's the sort of next wave as far as defensive backs. I think you absolutely have to hang on to this kid or else somebody's going to claim him and he's going to be starting someplace else before too long.
Greg, another player who performed pretty well tonight, and it's a pretty deep position at defensive line, is Adam Butler. I thought he made an impact at least earlier in the game. But your thoughts on him trying to make this roster considering how deep it is on defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe, he's always been a good player since he's been here. I mean, he's shown up, Felger and Maz make fun of me because Adam Butler is one of the guys that I mentioned as one of my best players, I think, in training camp last year, and they didn't even know who the heck the guy was. And he went on to contribute all season. And I was a little bit puzzled why he played so much tonight. It could be because normally when the starters are out there, he's just used as a sub-package pass rusher, and he doesn't get much work on the other two downs. Maybe this was an opportunity to get him a little bit more work. I would be shocked if he's cut. He's just a guy that every time he's on the field, he makes some sort of impact, even though he's not the biggest guy, he's not the strongest guy. He is among the quickest guys. I think that's what gives offensive linemen a lot of trouble. But I think he is certainly a guy that's going to be on this roster, and he's been on sub-package pass rush since, almost since the beginning of last season, and that has not dissipated at all. So I believe he's going to be there again.
We're talking with Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. Greg, you have probably the most comprehensive write-up of all the possible receiving targets that the Patriots could take a look at in the trade market prior to the start of the season. And as I went through the list today reading it, Every person seemed to be unlikely, long shot. And then you got guys like Michael Floyd listed as very possible, or someone like Bernard Reedy. It just maybe recalibrated my expectations of what the Patriots will do to maybe add a receiver. Sounds to me, just from reading that you don't think there's going to be a big name coming here.
Well, here's the thing, Beetle. I mean, a lot of those guys and, some of them that, that we talked about, like Randall Cobb, or like, I really looked at guys in the final years of their deal where maybe the team's ready to move on. They could go younger and cheaper. The Patriots like those type of guys. I mean, so when you're talking about like Randall Cobb, Kelvin Benjamin, Golden Tate, those are probably three of the most prominent names. Those guys just make a lot of money. They all make over $7 million. And the Patriots, once Shaq Mason's contract goes through the system, I assume the Patriots are going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $7 million under the cap. And all those guys are more than that. And the Patriots need $5, $6, $7 million just to operate during the season under the cap. So, you look at, okay, can they exchange maybe some salaries here or there? Really, I mean, the only guys that you could do that or through trade, Dwayne Allen was certainly number one on the list, but now they just restructured his contract, so he's going to be here. Patterson is $3.25 million. He's not going anywhere. Jason McCourty, if they cut him, that's $3 million. Gillislee another two. Rowe's not going anyplace. He's one. And then other than that, you need to trade Dante Hightower. So a lot of those guys just don't make sense financially. They would have to go through a lot of hoops. Yes, Felger likes to say that, you know, salary cap can be maneuvered. Yes, if you want to push more money into the future, but the Patriots don't do that. To me, when I came down to it, guys who they would have a chance for that made sense, Emmanuel Sanders, Josh Gordon, of course, he's got a lot of big problems off the field. To me, Kevin White with the Bears is the guy that I would go after. He's a guy who's had a lot of injury problems, seventh or eighth overall pick a couple years ago. Tall, fast, you know, needs a fresh start. He would be the guy that I'd go after. But, yeah, I mean, when you really look at it, it's going to be hard for them to make anything substantial work.
You said when you were talking just a minute ago that Eric Rowe is not going anywhere. Given that he's going into the final year of his deal and there being a lot of young players and young defensive backs on this roster, you know, do you think they'd ever consider trading him?
I think it's possible, but I don't know how much value he would have, you know, across the league. I mean, if you think about trading him, then you're okay. Well, then who's your starter opposite Stephon Gilmore? I mean, you know, do you keep Jason McCourty and he's it? Probably not. And then now you're talking. We haven't even seen what's his name, Duke Dawson, like on the field in like months. Nobody knows what kind of shape he's in. J.C. Jackson would probably be your starter right now at number two corner. What could I see that
Jeopardy
happening?
Jeopardy Joe Murray perked up as soon as you said that. He's loving J.C. Jackson.
I mean, I love him, but come on. That's scary.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
I love him,
hey,
too.
We've seen worse.
I mean, even Malcolm Butler, like, didn't start at all his rookie year, and then he came back, and then he was a starter his second year. I mean, I just can't. Rowe's been the number two from the get-go in camp. I think they like him. I think he's healthy now. I think they feel really good about that. And then you got Jonathan Jones at slot corner. I think they feel really good about that group, and I don't think they're going to break it up.
Okay, you also mentioned, though, in your story that Dante Hightower could be a potential trade guy. What's his status right now? It just seems like it's been a little bit of an odd preseason for him.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot after last game, and you know, and I stand by what I said that, you know, you can count every other front seven guy on the Patriots and you could say, and everybody, I'm talking even like Landon Roberts, and you could say, okay, they made a play this preseason. You noticed them at some point. Dante Hightower played like 57 snaps, had two hurries, which were kind of late and a little cheap on the cheap side, and one assisted tackle. That was it. He's the playmaker on defense. If I did ask Brian Flores about that this week when we got access to the assistants, and he basically told me that Hightower was doing a lot of things to set up other players, and, you know, he wasn't too worried about it. But, you know, I could tell you if Bill Belichick expects Dante Hightower to make plays and he's not, and he's been coming off of injuries, Belichick will think about things like that. Now, do I think they're going to do that? No, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility.
Hey, Greg, can you assess the running back position? And also, Sony Michel, his timetable of returning. We know sometimes these rookie running backs don't really get into the flow early on. But, you know, your timetable on him and, you know, do you think Gillislee makes this roster?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, when I went through, I sort of took the players that were not playing in this game and, you know, sort of the guys, not the guys who are injured, who, you know, probably aren't going to be on the roster, but everybody else. And, like, you know, I came out with, I think it was 24 guys on offense, and that included only six on the offensive line. They're going to have at least eight, probably nine. And then that did include six running backs and seven wide receivers. They're not going to keep six running backs. So, you know, that guys like Brandon Bolden and Mike Gillislee didn't play in this game at all tells me that, you know, they, you know, didn't want to get them hurt. Probably one of them makes the roster. I think Gillislee is going to be floated for trade bait somehow. I don't think they really need him. I as far as Michelle goes, I expect him to start practicing more fully in preparation for the season opener. It depends on what he shows in practice, but I think it's a long shot that he contributes much. I would say probably the first month of the season, depending on what, you know, where Burkhead is. That's going to sort of tell the tale on how many snaps he gets leading up to as the season goes along.
All right, Greg, I don't know about you, but I've had enough of the preseason. I'm ready for the real thing.
And no question, Beetle. Let's get it going.
All right, so the next time we talk, it will be real. We'll talk to you then.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal.